Father looked down from heaven and saw a world lost in its sin. His judgment on his left hand said a payment now was due. Then the Son said to the Father, I don't want them to die. I'll take and give my own life. For the souls of men I'll go. I can go to a world that's lost and dying. I can go and give my life to win men's souls. They need to know the answer that a Savior loves them so. I can go. God sees a faithful servant, lays a burden on his heart. The harvest now is ready. Will the servant do his part? Then the servant answers heaven with a will to do his best. I'll give the rest of my life. For the souls of men I'll go. I can go to a world that's lost and dying. I can go and give my life to win men's souls. They need to know the answer that a Savior loves them so. I can go. The Father still is calling, looking for someone to go and give the rest of their life until the whole world knows. Will you go to a world that's lost and dying? Will you go and give your life to win men's souls? They need to know the answer that a Savior loves them so. Will you go? Will you go?
Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 14, and so I'm going to let you go ahead and stay seated tonight. But we're going to look at John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. John chapter 6. You know, I told you this morning how my Bible teacher said, you know, you need to start off the service with a joke. You know, because when there's a smile on the face, the message is easier to reach the heart. And so when I got to Zambia, I tried and tried to tell them jokes. But, you know, Zambians just don't get blonde jokes. It just doesn't work, you know, because they don't have any blondes there. It just doesn't happen. And so I'm trying to think of all these jokes to tell, and all of my American jokes just fell flat. Now, I don't know if they were bad jokes or I'm a bad joke teller. I just didn't know. So I asked one of my guys at my church, I said, Edward, you got to teach me a Zambian joke. He said, oh, Pastor, I've got a great one. I said, okay, tell it to me. And so he told me the joke, and I'm like, okay, maybe you need to tell it to me again. So he told it to me again, and I said, Edward, I don't get it. He said, Pastor, just tell this joke on Sunday, it'll be great. I said, okay, fine. So I get up on Sunday, and all the people are sitting down, and we've just announced the scripture, and I say, here's the joke. These men are sitting around the campfire at night. They've just eaten their meal, and up walks a dog. He looks at the pot on the fire. He looks inside. And he looks at the men, the pot is empty, he goes, chapwa, which means it's finished. And everyone just started laughing. They just started laughing and laughing and laughing. So, okay, fine. I preach the sermon. It's fine. Next Sunday, I get up, I tell the exact same joke. The men are sitting around the campfire at night. They've just finished eating. A dog walks up. He looks in the pot. He looks at the men. He goes, chapla, which means it's finished. It's all gone. And again, they're laughing and laughing, laughing. Now, not a courtesy laugh like you might tell the pastor when he's told a dumb joke, you know. These guys were actually almost falling off the benches. Sorry. And so after the service, I went up to Edward. I said, Edward, you got to tell me what is so funny about this joke. And he looked at me with this look of incredulity in his eyes, and he said, Pastor, dogs can't talk. So it's a little bit different. Just a little bit different there. All right, you've got your Bibles open to John chapter 6. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 14. The Word of God says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, now you can tell a lot about this guy just by his name. He's obviously very handsome, probably very smart, you know, probably really cream of the crop there. Anyway, just kidding. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass on the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we love you very much, and we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. We pray, dear Lord, that you'll be with Pastor Angel as he's out in California. We pray that you'll bless him and his wife, keep him safe. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bring him back very quickly and safely to this place. Heavenly Father, as we come together tonight to worship you, we pray, dear Lord, that you'll find our hearts open and ready and receptive to your Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we give you permission to speak to our hearts, and we ask you to do just that. Heavenly Father, we pray, dear Lord, that you'll find us ready to receive your word. And Heavenly Father, please allow us to be changed tonight. We love you, dear God. We ask your blessing upon this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's really interesting to see this passage here. Because in all of the Scripture, you know, it's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then we come to John. This is the only passage where you see the little boy. The other passages, it talks about the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, the 5,000 fed. But this is the one where it talks about the little boy. He's come. He's brought it to the Lord. You know, the thing is here, it talks about 5,000, but it says that's just men. There were women and children. I mean, you look at the congregation here today. If we just counted the men, we'd maybe be off by 2/3, at least half. So there might have been 10,000 people who were here that day to hear Jesus who were fed by this miracle. That's a great thing. You know, there's a verse of comfort here that I find very comforting to me, and that's verse 5 and 6. Jesus saw these people who came to listen to his teaching. He saw that they were suffering. It says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now pay attention to verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know what? God knows how he's going to take care of us. Now, sometimes he doesn't show us right away because he wants to see how we're going to handle it. But rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, God knows how he's going to take care of you. You know, you can turn on your television today and you'll hear all kinds of preachers telling you that God wants to bless you. He wants to make you financially rich. He wants to, just give you so many things. You know, these prosperity preachers, they tell you that everything is going to be great. If you're really serving God, if you're right where you should be, you'll be overflowing with abundance. But we don't find that in God's Word. We find the Bible says, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We see that Jesus said if they've treated me this way, they're going to treat you the same way. We don't see any promises of prosperity. But you know what? In serving the Lord, there are other riches that come along. There truly are. But you know, the thing is, God does allow trials to come into our life. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've had trials. You've had tribulations. You've had oppression. You know that. And you know, the thing that's encouraging to me is that when these trials come into my life, it's comforting to me to know that God knows about them. But even more than that, not only does God know about them, God has implicitly given His permission for that trial in my life. There is nothing that happens to a Christian that God is not aware of, and that God has not specifically said, it's okay, you can do this. Read the book of Job. Satan has to come and ask permission, and God has to give His permission for anything to enter into your life. He knows what's happening to you. He's aware of it. And beyond that, He knows how He's going to get you through it. You know, sometimes we can't see how we're going to get through this. Isn't that the way it is when a trial comes? It comes to us and we're like, there's no way. How are we going to get past this? I can't see a way to do it. And always it's the way. Now, looking back in hindsight, you're like, okay, well, you know, eventually it was okay. Eventually things worked out. But God knows how He's going to take care of us. Just like verse 6 says, and this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. I want to encourage you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, when the trials come into your life, and they will come, when the tribulations come, rest in God. Try to respond the way that God wants you to. You see, that's where I get into my big mistake, because I have a big mouth, and I react quickly without thinking. Now, probably none of you people do that, but I do. All the time. You know, you wouldn't believe that these feet would fit in this mouth, but they do. Not very comfortably, but they do. And I get myself into so much trouble because I react wrongly. A problem comes, and boy, it's a knee-jerk reaction. For instance, when you're driving. Never is there a time when you are more yourself than when you're driving and someone cuts you off. Isn't it? You can try to be Christian, you can try to do the godly thing, but when someone cuts you off or does something stupid in front of you, boy, it really brings it out, doesn't it? It does. But you know what? If we can handle our reactions, if we can step back from the situation and say, you know what? God's got a solution. Let me behave the way I'm supposed to, and God will take care of it. You will be amazed at how quickly your trial will be over. When you realize it's a testing, when you realize that it's something God has permitted to come into your life because He wants to make you better, it's amazing how quickly it's over. Because it says that He wanted this, He said this, He said to prove Him, to test Him. That's what our God does. It's not to break us down, it's to make us stronger. And it does. If we can make it through the trial with our testimony intact. If we can learn from it, it'll make us stronger. And you know, we need to remember always, God knows what's going on. He gives His permission for it, but beyond that, He has a plan of how He's going to resolve it if we'll let Him, if we'll respond correctly. You know, it talks about how this little boy, he brought his lunch, 5 little loaves, 2 small fish. No one else brought a lunch. You know, and this little guy, it says he's a little lad, so he's probably 12 years old or younger. 5 little buns. 2 little fish. Now, maybe he caught the fish, but most likely he did not bake that bread himself. There was someone at home, maybe a grandma, maybe a mom, maybe an auntie, who cooked that for him and cared about him and said, here, you take this. It's going to be a long day. You're going to be out for a long time. This is for you. Someone cared about him. The little boy went out, heard Jesus preach, and then there was a problem. 10,000 people on this hillside, and all of a sudden, they were all hungry. They didn't know what to do. You know? And so this little boy, he comes and he presents this to the Lord. You know, the Bible says that the Lord took this, He blessed it, He broke it, He distributed it, and all of them ate until they were filled. Think about that. Until they were filled. Have you ever gone to Old Country Buffet or Golden Corral? And you eat, and you eat, and you eat. And then you go back and you eat some more. And then you go back to the dessert bar and you eat a little bit more. And you come back and your dad's unbuttoned his top button in his pants. Yeah? And then you eat a little bit more, huh? And you get to the point where the lady comes around with a fresh serving of the hot buttered rolls and the steam's coming up, and you look at those rolls and you say, oh no, take them away. I don't even want to look at them. I can't eat another bite. That is being filled. And that's what they were. They didn't just eat a little bit and say, okay, that's okay until I get home. The Bible says they were filled. Over and above what they could have had, they were filled. That was a miracle. That was amazing. Even the people here in verse 14 admitted that this was a miracle that Jesus had done. I mean, honestly, think about it. 10,000 people, maybe more. 10,000 people. You've never had that many here at the church. Can you imagine trying to feed 10,000 people and to feed them to where they said, oh, no more. Just take it away. And so they took it away and they gathered 12 baskets full of the remnants. It's a miracle. But you know what? Our God is in the miracle business. You know, you think about what He does with missions out here. Look at the walls in your hallway. I'll give you a little secret. Bill Gates does not support missions. The federal government does not support missions. This work that's done out here throughout the world is done by people just like you. People who live on a budget. People to whom $20 means something. Because God takes what little that we have and He does something amazing with it. He multiplies it. It's not able for our human comprehension to understand it, but He takes something small, He does a miracle, and great things happen. You know what? He does that with people too. I'm not a great Christian. I'm just an ordinary Christian. I'll tell you the truth, I'm not a super Christian at all. There are days, I'm telling you the truth, I forget to read my Bible. There are days when my prayer time is very fast and very short. There are days when my wife and I have a discussion that gets loud and long and involves banging and things like that. That happens sometimes. There are times when my kids make me want to pull my hair out. And I can't afford to do that much longer. But we're just ordinary people. We're just Christians just like you. But you know what? Here's the miracle. God can take something that's weak and not very smart and not very strong, and He can do something great with it. Because He's in the miracle business. You know, God's not looking for great Christians to use. He's looking for Christians who are available who He can do something great with. Because the miracle is in Him, it's not in me. You know what? If I was Bill Gates and I was super smart and I had all this money, it would not surprise you if I could go and do something in Zambia. Well, yeah, he's got all the money, he's got all the brains, you know, look at all the stuff he can do. That's not a miracle. But when God takes a weak and broken down person like me, and He does something that is notable through it, who gets the praise? Well, it's God. And God's looking for you. And you know what? You don't have to be perfect for God to use you. Because you know what? God's also in the restoration business. He's happy to take things that have been broken and make them fresh. He's happy to take people who have fallen and lift them up and use them again. Our God is in the miracle business. He does it with finances. He does it with people. And it's an amazing thing of what He's done here. Now, here's one of the main points that I want you to see tonight out of this lesson. And maybe you've never really even thought about this, but that's the neat thing about the Bible is we can see things we've never seen before. Do you realize that this little boy... Now, how many of you have had a 12-year-old boy in your house? Now, they go out and they play all day long. Five little buns, two small fish. Is that going to knock off their hunger? I've had some 12-year-old girls in my house, and that would knock off their hunger. Okay? But do you realize that this little boy, he was one of the 10,000 that was filled? By giving up his lunch that was insufficient, he was one of the 10,000 that had to walk home with a full belly that night. By giving up what was his to the Lord, he had more of a blessing than had he kept it for himself. And you know, the Lord does that with us too. We have something that the Lord has given to us, our time or our talent or our treasure, and we trust the Lord with that, we give it to Him, and the Lord blesses us back. You know, the Bible says that God is a debtor to no man, and I can testify before you today that that is really the truth. You know, there were people in that crowd that day, I bet, that said, you know what? You just need to keep that lunch to yourself. Your grandma was smart. Your mom was smart. She sent that for you. She sent that for you. You have no business going giving it to that crazy preacher man. But you know what? The world will never understand the things of God. They will never understand it. I've been a Christian for many years. Some of the things I don't understand. For instance, salvation. I'll be honest with you. The Catholic way should work. It should be that the more good things you do should outweigh. If you do more good things than bad things, you should get to go to heaven. That makes sense. That's logical. I mean, what have we learned from the time we were little? There's nothing that's free. There's no free lunch. You pay for everything you get. Not salvation. It's totally paid for. There's nothing we can do to help it along. It's all on Him. All we've got to do is receive what He's done. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Think about tithing. That doesn't make sense at all. God says that if we're faithful with our tithe and give Him 10% of what we earn, He'll make the 90% go further than the 100% would have gone. I've taken math class before and I passed it. That doesn't make sense. 90% is not supposed to go further than 100%. But it does. Because God makes it. You know, the Bible says, forgive your enemies. Well, that's not what the world says. The world says, hey, somebody pushes you, you push them right back. But God says, go ahead and forgive them. It's okay. You'll be better off for it. That doesn't make any sense. But you know, the things of God don't have to make sense because we live by faith. We trust in what we don't see. We trust in what we can't explain completely. And that is faith. And that's how this works. And this little boy, he trusted Jesus. He said, okay, fine. Good. Take it. You know, isn't that the truth, though? So many things we just need to be like a child and trust God. You know, children are so trusting. It's so easy to play tricks on them. So funny. But you know what, honestly? They're just so trusting. You know, you see little kids, they get into a fight. Boy, they patch it up just like that. They're friends again in just a couple of minutes. We need to be like children sometimes. We need to be that way in our attitude. And we need to be trusting of our Heavenly Father the way that a little child trusts his father. We can trust in Him. It's amazing. It's just so amazing what God can do. And this little guy was filled even beyond what had he kept his own lunch. And the last thing I want you to see here tonight, the last thing I want you to see is that the things that we have really aren't ours at all. I mean, you think about the lunch that he gave. It wasn't his lunch. Someone gave that to him. You know, maybe he caught the fish, but he didn't bake that bread. Probably not. It was something that was given to him for his use, and he gave it along to the Savior for him to use. And you think about it. What do we have that's really ours? What have you done that you have really achieved? Well, you know, there are people here who've really achieved something. But did you choose your gender? Did you choose your race? Did you choose to be born in this great free country where there's so many opportunities for the people? Why weren't you born in India? Why weren't you born in Africa? Did you have something to do with that? Was it your supreme intellect that brought you here? What did that? How did you get the parents that you had? Maybe you had godly parents who trained you up and taught you how to read the Word and taught you how to handle money and taught you how to invest and pushed you through school. Why did you get those parents? Did you have something to do with that? You know, we don't believe in the lottery, but honestly, we are the lottery winners. God has blessed us beyond all comprehension. We live in the greatest country in the world, and there's no doubt about that. I'm happy to have been a veteran. I'm happy to have served in the Army. But you know what? All you have to do is leave the United States. It doesn't matter where you go. And then come back here, and you're like, wow, that was different. Why were we Americans? Why were we, most of us, white? You know, that's a blessing right there. There's so many advantages for white people over black. And I'm just telling you the truth. I've lived in Zambia for almost half my life. There's no doubt. You know, the little kids that I deal with in Zambia, they want to be doctors. They want to be nurses. They want to be teachers. They have all these aspirations, but they have none of the possibilities that your children have. And they're smart little kids. And they're good little kids. Why? What has caused us to have this? You know, nothing that we have is ours. Did you have some part to play in that your body is whole and that you're not a cripple? That you don't have Down syndrome? Did you do something for that? You know, that your body is whole, that your mind is whole? No, it's all a gift from the Lord. God has blessed us abundantly over and above other people. We need to use those talents for the Lord. He's given freely to us. We need to give it back. You know, what it is, it's His grace. It's unmerited favor. It's favor shown to us before we were ever even saved. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a Baptist preacher. I made many professions of faith, but I didn't really get saved until I was in the Army. I was 20 years old. But, you know, looking back in my life, I can see events in my life where the Lord watched over me and protected me and brought me to that place in Germany where I finally got saved. Even before I was saved, He was watching out for me. Even before I accepted Him, He was directing my path. He took me right to the place that I needed to be so that my heart would be broken so that I could receive Him as my Savior. Right to that place. And maybe He did the same for you. There's nothing that we are that is of ourselves. There's nothing that we can look at and say, I did that. Oh no. It's all the Lord. He's what's done it. And you know what? When we take the things that God has blessed us with, and when we give it back to Him, He can take it and He can do a miracle with it. He can multiply it, He can bless it, and great things can be done if we're willing to. You know the thing that's really amazing? The things that hold us back from serving God are usually not sin. There's probably not murderers here in this crowd tonight. There's probably not a bunch of adulterers and all of that. The thing that stops us from serving God are actually the things that God has blessed us with. A good job. Oh, I'm scared to lose that job. God's given me a good job. I can't surrender to the Lord. I'll lose that job. A good family. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to do that. A good bank account. Oh, I can't give that. The Lord's given that to me for my retirement. And I'm going to do this. The things that stop us from serving the Lord, most of us here, is not sin. It's the things that God has already blessed us with. You know, we fall in love with the things that God has given us, and we forget that we need to love the giver more than the things that He's given. And that's the thing that holds us back. You know, you think about Adam. All these things that God made for Adam, and Adam sinned by overtaking in one of the things that He said not to. God gave him those things because He loved him. And that's what He's done for us. All these things God has blessed us with. But yet we take these things and use them as an excuse not to serve God, not to do more for Him. That's not right. That's not the way that it should be. You know what? We need to learn some lessons from this tonight. The lessons we can learn is this. God knows what you're going through, and He's got a way to take you through. We can trust the Lord with what He's given to us if we give it back to Him. We don't need to hold on so tightly to the things He's given us, because when we give things back to the Lord's going to do a great miracle with it, and not only will other people be blessed, but we'll be blessed as well. And that's a truth from God's Word. You know, so many things in this life are uncertain. You just don't know for sure what's going on. You just can't see around the corner what's going to happen. That's why the Bible's so great. Because you can see. If you'll trust. Again, you've trusted the Lord with your salvation. That was the big step. Can you trust Him with these little things as well? Can you trust Him with your job? Can you trust Him with your family? Can you take that step and once again step out by faith? I mean, all of the Christian life is by faith. But it seems like sometimes as we mature, we step back in our faith a little bit. We get comfortable. We get very comfortable with the things that He's given us. And our faith dwindles just a bit. Let's remember that we can have faith in Him, that we can trust Him. Just like this little lad did. We can find what the Lord wants us to do. And when we follow it, great things will happen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You so much. And we thank You, dear Lord, for our salvation. We thank You, dear Lord, for the great opportunity that we've had to be in a place where we could hear Your Word being preached and that You gave us the understanding to receive Your Savior. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Holy Spirit who guides us. Heavenly Father, so often we fail to listen to Him. So often we do not heed His counsel. I pray, dear Lord, that tonight we'll heed the Holy Spirit. I pray, dear Lord, that we'll hear His voice tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that by faith we'll step out and trust You. And Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, that we'll trust You with the things that are dear to us. Heavenly Father, all these things You've given to us. There's nothing that we have that's our own. Heavenly Father, let us trust You with these things and give them back to You and see the miracle that You will do with our life. Heavenly Father, we love You very much. We ask Your blessing upon this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if somebody might say, Brother Mick, something that was said tonight spoke to my heart. I just want to raise my hand to say that. If there's anybody that the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you lift your hand? What is it? Is God trying to do a miracle with you, in you? But are we preventing it because of a blessing that God has given us? Are we using that as an excuse? Let's use that blessing that God has given us for God. Let's give it back to Him and allow Him to use it in whatever way He wants. As the piano plays, let's all stand. And if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come down to the altar, do business with God for a little while. If you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven someday, why don't you come down and talk to somebody about that, get that nailed down. What is it that God wants to do in you? What is it that God wants to do with you?